And we are joined by Mr. Matthew Zaccaro. Did I pronounce that anywhere near correctly?
That's perfect.
How did I do that?
You goofed, but it's good.
Oh, it's amazing. And you are with the Helicopter Association International. Wouldn't that be better, like International Helicopter Association?
Well, after 60 years, I think we'll stick with it, but that could be an option down the road.
Okay.
Hey, you never know. Hey, if the Commemorative Air Force can change their name,
I suppose
you guys could too.
They could change it to like the Schwartz Foundation. That tells everybody a lot. Anyway, what is the Helicopter Association International?
Well, the International Trade Association represents the interest of the helicopter community worldwide. And the majority of our membership certainly is U.S. domestic based, but to give you an idea of the scope, we estimate that our members operate about 5,500 helicopters and fly them about 2.5 million hours every year.
Now, are you representing commercial helicopter businesses or private owners as well?
Well, that's the best part. We have approximately six classifications of membership, so literally anybody that has anything to do with the helicopter industry is part of our membership, including the owner-operators of the aircraft, the manufacturers, the service providers, pilots, mechanics, students, and just those interested in rotorcraft flight.
Ah, that's pretty wide purview.
Sounds like a fun place to be.
How many members do you have?
I have approximately 3,000 members, and most of those are, in fact, corporations, companies that operate the aircraft and, like I said, manufacture and provide service.
Now, you said your organization is like 60 years old?
Yes, it is, 1948.
I was going to say, the helicopter must have been brand new when you guys formed.
Well, it was a new aviation entity at the time, but certainly the pioneers of the industry that formed it were actually out there operating it with the new technology that they called vertical flight at the time.
Yeah, because in 1948, as I recall, during World War II, the Germans were first successfully flew, and America was playing with them, but we never got them into service in World War II. The Germans actually did.
Well, just at the end of World War II, we actually had some helicopters that were operated and by the military, and they had just cross-trained some of the pilots in the military to be the first helicopter pilots. Obviously, it came to notoriety in the Korean War, and then certainly the Vietnam War was, in fact, the helicopter war.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of... One thing that surprises me is there's not that many Hueys around from the Vietnam era.
No, they just retired the last Huey out of active military service, and sad event. I flew that for many hours and instructed in it, and great aircraft, loved it.
You could certainly. I don't understand how you could ever claim the element of surprise. You could hear the darn thing coming 4 miles away.
No, I have to agree with you. I flew them in Vietnam, and we weren't surprising too many people.
Right. If you get two Hueys going by at 3,000-4,000 feet, it's an amazing sound. It's like, what is that? Mm-hmm. And you hear it forever.
No, it's distinct. The good news is, though, we've matured quite a bit, and now quiet technology is out there.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, the Huey was built as a workhorse. It wasn't built thinking about stealth and how quiet you can make it, for sure. Mm.
So your organization is also a political voice for helicopter flight?
Absolutely. We lobby aggressively along with the other associations on the Hill in Washington. We also work with foreign regulatory agencies through ICAO in Montreal and through EASA in Europe and DGCA and CAAs in other countries around the world.
Is this your national convention here, or do you actually have a convention, say, held in Las Vegas?
Yeah, this is not our annual event. We have our annual event, and it's usually in February and March of each year. We rotate it around the country in the U.S. It's the largest trade association event for helicopters in the world. And we attract on an average 18,000 attendees, and we fly in 65 helicopters and take over most of the convention center wherever we go. We'll be coming up with our next show in Dallas, Texas, in February of next year, and that'll be followed by Las Vegas and Anaheim, California.
Nice. See you in Vegas.
Come to Philadelphia. We're cold.
Yeah.
Especially in January, but anyway.
So you also have to be a clearinghouse of information as well. What kind of information are you keeping up with? Do you have anything to do with like airworthiness directives or service bulletins for helicopters?
Yeah, sure. We work with the OEMs, and actually we have a maintenance malfunction reporting system that's coordinated through HAI for the OEMs, the manufacturers, and the operators, and they can use our program to report those events to the manufacturers. And we work with the FAA quite a bit. We're now operating under a federal grant from the FAA, and we're doing a study on flight data monitoring and health usage monitoring for helicopters. And we're pretty excited about that.
Did you see the Red Bull helicopter fly?
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, you've got to be like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I got checked out in the 1970s in that aircraft, and I was fortunate enough to do it with one of the test pilots from NBB at the time, and he made a query as to whether I was interested in those type maneuvers, and I said not only no, but hell no.
Yeah. You already knew better.
I'll tell you, I really the utmost respect for Chuck Aaron and what he does, and he's the ultimate professional, and it's just amazing what he does with the aircraft.
No, I understand it's basically a stock MBB.
Yeah, actually it is. It has a rigid rotor head, the tiny titanium head, and it has the ability to do it, and it had the ability when they first manufactured it. But it certainly obviously takes some person like Chuck Aaron with the skill and the training and attention to detail to do it.
Yeah, and the other large anatomical features required to try something like that.
Yeah. It's called brass, and you get lots of it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's always been talk about looping and rolling helicopters, and I actually saw a chunk of footage on, I think it was the History Channel, of the Jolly Green.
Yes.
Doing a full roll.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And that, to me, is just frightening.
Well, it's just the aerodynamics, and it's an extremely precise maneuver because of the various aerodynamic forces on the blades during the realm of flight when you're going inverted. And the average pilot, line pilot, is certainly not something to attempt or think about. But, again, I would revert to people like Chuck who have perfected the art and have the training and the skill. The helicopters, certainly can do the maneuver, but it's very extremely demanding, and it's not something that it's built to do on the norm.
Well, right now we're in a great age. The V-22 Osprey tilt rotor has come online. Do you have any members that are qualified in the V-22?
They're military, obviously, because that's the only derivative that's flying right now. And we do have a number of customers who have an interest in it, commercial operators that are waiting for the civilian version. The closest I've gotten to it, I was fortunate enough to fly the V-22 simulator out at NASA Ames as an industry pilot, just to check out what the transition would be for somebody like me, into the V-22. And I just happen to be rated both fixed wing and airplane, and helicopter rather, an airplane. And I found the simulator fascinating, and it was relatively a smooth transition. And once you get used to the transition, from the nacelles to turboprop mode, for cruise flight versus the vertical phase, it's really an extremely impressive aircraft with a wide operating capability. But it is part of the future, and as is the X2 that's here from Sikorsky. Their technology.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let me ask you another question. It's kind of a fringe element. There's a guy named Carter working with that Carter copter, mm-hmm. and he claims to have broken the Mu-1 barrier. Has that ever been independently verified?
I'm not that familiar with it, so I really don't know, to be honest with you.
Well, I can describe it. It looks like an autogyro in a lot of senses it is.
Yeah.
But he's got a way of stiffening the rotor blade up and unloading the rotor blade and slowing it down.
Okay.
During his transition to, wing-powered flight.
Sure.
That he claims he has broken that Mu-1 barrier.
Interesting.
Yeah. The only thing, I know it's flying it, and I know it takes a tremendous amount of horsepower to push it.
Yeah. Well, now you have my curiosity. It's down at the ultra area?
If he's here, it would be down there.
Well, I'm going to have to wander on down there.
Yeah.
If he was here, I was hoping he'd stop by so we could find out what's going on in his neck of the woods.
Yeah.
So
I think the whole secret of the machine was when you unload the rotor, keeping it from flapping, from fluttering. So that was what they really had to work on, was a stiff enough rotor that they could do that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So
now you guys have to have a website too, correct?
We have two websites. We have one which is www.rotor.com. And it has all the information about our organization, what's going on in the industry, and it has information about our show, which we talked about. And we have a lot of downloads. We have downloads relative to safety materials that we produced, and that is our number one priority, is safety. We put a lot of resources and staff and time into safety initiatives. The other one is our foundation, which is the Helicopter Foundation International, and that's at www.hfi.org. And there we preserve the history of the industry by interviewing pioneers, and we have those interviews posted along with a lot of the archive material we have. And a project that we have underway now is we're creating a virtual museum online. And we clearly understand that many of the people around the world cannot get to the physical facilities such as the museums that are there. So we're making that available via the Internet, and it'll be translatable into 15 languages. And you'll be able to view all the archives and model collections that we have and do your research from your desk.
Yeah. Nice.
What about student pilots that are, you know, interested in getting into helicopters? Do you guys work with them at all?
We absolutely do. We are sponsored with the FAA FAST team on a safety initiative, and we're targeting general aviation, Part 91, and flight instructors. And we actually just did one in Lafayette, Louisiana, and we had about 50 flight instructors down there. And I love interfacing with them. That's the next generation coming up. We also offer student membership for free for the first year in HAI. In order to get them under the tent, so to speak, and get them familiar with the organization and the industry, and hopefully tweak that spark in their eye to think about a career in the helicopter industry. But as with all the other associations, that's an area we're very concerned about, is the starts of pilots and also the next generation coming in to fill these seats in the cockpits and the maintenance technology in the hangars as well.
Well, that just brings me right to the natural question. Are careers in helicopter flying easier to find than fixed wing?
I don't know so much easier, but I think there's the benefit to helicopters is much more diversity. We fly in excess of 50 missions with the helicopters. So when you really think that through, you can have a career path potentially to do electronic news gathering. You can be an emergency medical services pilot. You can do offshore support to the oil rigs. You can also do corporate flying, or aerial firefighting, or law enforcement. The list is endless. So I think the diversity and the paths of potential career specialization are a lot greater in the helicopter community.
Okay, great. And what? Real quick, what's your website again?
www.rotor.com.
All right. Thank you for joining us. Matthew Zaccaro. I had to think there. It was tough.
You pulled it off, though.
Great.
I appreciate
it. At least I faked
it.
No problem. Thank you again.
Thanks a lot.